are back here at your favorite radio station, WWGH, and we have Marion County's naturalist, James Anderson, on with us. We're talking about all sorts of critters, plants. He knows everything about everything. He's one of those really bright people. Unfortunately, I wasn't raised that way. Well, I was raised that way. I just didn't turn out that way. Anyway, so I thought maybe we would talk about some of the birds that are coming to our area.
Yeah.
And some of them, I assume, stay all winter long. But
some do, yep.
Now, do the eagles stay all winter long?
Yes.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yes. So we could see eagles in the middle of the winter when it's cold.
Yes. During January, early February, that's actually their breeding season.
Oh, is that right?
It's a higher chance of seeing them because they're, you know, more active in trying to find a mate and everything.
Well, and do they they live in the same nest time and time again, don't
they? Yeah, just like what we said with the cardinals, as long as they can find food and raise their young successfully, they will reuse the nest.
Now, when I was out on your trail, my first experience on your trail that you took us for a walk, we saw an eagle, and I believe the eagle did not have white head, but how long does it take them to get that white?
About 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, and I think you said he was pretty, he was a juvenile, but he stared at me like he was mean.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he stared at me, but he just sat there and looked at us as we walked under the tree he was on. That was kind of fun. And I've loved eagles ever since. Now, I've always liked the thought of an eagle. They look magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
And they look strong. I assume that's why we don't have a turkey for the national bird. We have an eagle. But didn't we initially want to have a turkey for the national bird?
Well, that was the old wise tale.
Oh, know, okay.
That, yes, that the turkey was going to become our national bird. But it was just a mere suggestion from Ben Franklin. But he was opposed against the bald eagle.
Why?
Well, several reasons. One reason, he thought that the bald, not like when you have no hair, but the bald white, represented the British, which we just defeated. Another reason why he didn't like the bald eagle, because he thought they're ranked as a coward because they can be chased away from little bird. It's called kingbirds, no bigger than a sparrow.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And then some,
I think.
And then he even called the bald eagle a moral of bad character because sometimes they will steal from other birds.
Okay.
Like a prey or dead things.
Well, he wasn't a politician at the time that we are now. Otherwise, he'd know we have a lot of cowards and we have a lot of stealers.
That's true. But it was actually a scene from Exodus when Moses was splitting up the Red Sea. That was actually his original symbol he wanted to have. That he wanted as our national symbol, not the eagle.
Okay, the parting of the sea.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. That's kind of interesting. Even though we were based on a non-religious government?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, it didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what other birds have we got going right now? You were saying
the geese.
Those Canadian geese that kind of scared me away.
Yeah, and you saw two of them, right?
Yeah, I saw two.
So right now, they're pairing up.
Okay.
So when they're pairing up, they usually are monogamous. Usually, they will stay together in the same pair. But if the babies are not, I guess, well developed, or the male is producing blanks or what, basically the female will find a new mate.
Oh, okay.
Also, well, too, if the male's not being very protective, she may find another potential mate as well.
I think that happens in our lives.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. But once they form that bond, they will stick with each other up until the young are ready to fledge and fly away.
Is that what it's called when they take off from the nest? Fledging?
Yeah fledgings.
Okay. Yeah.
But here in the next couple of weeks, they're going to be start nesting. And then after that, then you'll see the baby geese or the goslings. And then mom and dad's job is just to help them find food, find water, basically how to be a goose. Mm-hmm. And then they all do their own thing after that.
Now, I watch, I can't remember the name of the city where they are, but I think it's in Wisconsin. I watch baby eagles being born. You know, they have a camcorder thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and a nest.
And they have it on a nest so you can watch them being born. Do we have anything like that around here that we could watch?
Not locally, okay. But there is one in Toledo with the Peregrine Falcons. And
oh,
then,
okay.
I'm not sure where in Ohio, but there's an Osprey nest, and I think it's Channel 10 or Channel 6. They have the camera out there.
Okay. Well, it's kind of fun to watch because and you kind of get so you're rooting for the eggs.
Yeah.
And sometimes you turn out it's kind of sad because some of the eggs don't hatch.
And that does happen, yeah.
And if I recall correctly, the mother kind of broke up the eggshell and kicked it out of the nest after a while.
Sometimes that will happen because she doesn't want it to rot.
Yeah.
Doesn't want the other baby to become infected, but also too because of that rotting smell that will attract predators, raccoons, things like that.
Raccoons get up that high in trees?
As long as mom and dad are not around, yes, they will.
Let's go have dinner. Yeah,
they'll try to raid a nest.
That's a shame. Well, now the ones that I watch are way up in the air. I would guess 40 feet up in the air. And it's kind of fun to watch them because mom and dad both feed the critters,
yes.
The little critters.
Yep.
I always thought it was just the mom that did it, but no, the dads bring their
On fish most and stuff. Species, yes, it's just typically mom who's raising the young. But then there are some that mom and dad have both duties, geese, eagles, a lot of our birds of prey.
Oh, okay.
They both male and female have parental duties.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to see a male. Now, I couldn't tell which one was male and which one was female, but I knew it was the other one was. I knew that both of them were working on it because
look at the size. So if you see one bigger than the other, the females are bigger.
Oh, really? Yes. I had it just backwards. Okay, because I assumed the bigger one was the male. Okay,
she has half more room for eggs and size, so she can lay them. So.
Yeah, that's logical. All right, now, you mentioned off the air about the snakes that show up on the tall grass trail.
Yep.
Let me check my time. Yeah, we got about 6 minutes. Talk to me about our snake friends.
So, with the warmer weather coming upon us, our slithery friends are here, too.
And you like them.
Oh, I do. Oh, I love them. I do. I think they're really a wonderful creature. I think they're great to have around.
And
I know people are afraid of them, and you know we do have our fears. But what I guess I'm always against is we're gonna kill something because we're really afraid of it. I know I mentioned off the air. My father, my grandfather, and my great grandfather were always the old philosophy: a good snake
is dead.
Is a dead one. Yes. And somehow I turned out different, and I'm hoping I can break that tradition with my son as well.
Yeah.
But the two most common species you'll see at Marion Tallgrass Trails: the garter snake and the decade brown snake. And
now,
they're not very big.
Yeah, I was going to say, how big do both of those species
get? So for the garter snake, and I saw a good sized female. She can get up to about 8-9 inches long.
Very small.
Yeah. And then for
like a long earthworm.
Basically, yeah. And then for the Deckey's brown snake, it's about 4 inches, 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, really? That tiny?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Now, when you're seeing snakes out, I had this terrible mental image that I'd walk down the tall grass trail and I would come across a 7-foot black snake. But that
is possible.
It is.
Especially around the 3-mile mark around Epsifil section because
go that far.
We've had reports of milk snakes and black rat snakes. The milk snakes can get about 4 to 5 feet long. And
What does a milk snake look like?
So milk snakes, they are kind of brightly colored. They can be kind of reddish, yellowish, kind of tannish spots. I've seen a lot of different colorations. But right on top of their head, it can look like a Y or a V.
Okay.
But the reason why they call them milk snakes, because for a long time ago when we used to have a lot of dairy parlors, they would find them around.
Yeah.
You know, the dairy cattle, the old farmers would say that the snakes would steal the milk from the cows. Well, it's like, no. All he's trying to do is find the mice.
Yeah.
You know, that the cows waste with grain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the black rat snakes, you know, you can find them also around aquaculture areas too. And they always get the bad image because they're big, they're a darker color, and you know, a lot of people are scared of them. And, I mean, they do have a bite on them, but if you leave them alone, they're going to leave you alone.
Most snakes in Ohio are not poisonous. There are only a couple, right?
We have three venomous snakes. So poison and venom are kind of the same but different. Poison is you have to drink it. or eat it or ingest through your skin or lick it. But a venom is a toxin that's created by a living creature that injects into another living creature.
Okay,
so a bee sting, snake bites, and platypuses, the male platypus has a special dew claw on the back foot. He can scratch and inject venom into its potential threats.
I don't get close to too many platypuses.
Well, that's good. That's good. You would in Australia.
Yeah.
But the three that you'll come across in Ohio are the timber rattlesnakes, copperheads, and the masagas. The timber rattles and the copperheads, those are more in southeastern Ohio.
Yeah.
So think of Hocking Hills. The masaga around Kildare Plains wildlife area, that's where they're mainly found. So that's not terribly far from Marion County.
Is it a true story that you can tell whether they're poisonous or not because their head will be triangular?
You can kind of go
by
that.
I'm sorry.
But the problem with that is, well, a couple reasons, is I have seen non-feminist snakes, milk snake, I've seen them actually tilt their heads in a way because they're trying to confuse their threats. And I have seen milk snakes actually will try to rattle their tails. They don't have a rattle tail, but they'll try to imitate it to scare off their threats.
Away,
and then
yeah.
we have another non-feminist snake in more eastern Ohio called the hognose snake. And they're like cobras. They'll inflate their heads. They'll try to act big and bad. But if you keep pestering them, they actually play possum. They will play dead.
Huh.
So it is pretty neat.
Yeah.
But the big things you need to look for between a non-feminist and a feminist snake, feminist snakes will have the cat eyes, the vertical pupils.
Oh.
So have you ever seen a cat before?
I don't get close enough to look at their eyes.
Okay. Next is their nostrils. They have two nostrils. They have a kind of a roundish one, kind of like us, but then they have like a slit. Slit is called pit. Helps them find food. Also, too, obviously the fangs, but then that's kind of the last resort because once you see those fangs, that's when they're ready to strike.
Yeah. Don't all snakes have fangs?
Well, non-feminist snakes have all same teeth.
Oh.
They don't have the two large fangs.
Oh, okay.
Versus the feminist snakes, you'll see those two like long dagger fangs that they're ready to inject into you.
I used to have a girlfriend that had those. Yeah. Okay.
And then the heads, yes, the diamond shaped head is more for feminist snakes and rounder shape for non-feminists. And then if you feel really brave, if you find their tail, flip them over.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
A feminist snake will have one row of scales on their tail, and feminist snakes will have two rows of scales.
I'm going to find that one out real soon. Well, I did face a venomous snake.
Did you?
When I was in basic training, I'm getting a phone call from Lancaster. I don't know why. Anyway,
Ted, did you know President Warren
D. Harding
was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I told you a little bit of a fib. I said I had a run-in with a venomous snake, and I really didn't. I was in basic training, and we were crawling through the obstacle course where you're down on your belly crawling under barbed wire, and somebody whispered, because you weren't allowed to talk, somebody whispered, "Snake!" And we all turned, and there was a snake crawling down and we all thought it was a coral snake, which is poisonous.
Yes.
But we found out after the fact that there aren't very many coral snakes in Missouri. There's another one that looks a lot like it, but depending on the bands, it's a different, it was non-venomous. But coral snakes have rounded heads, so...
Yes, yeah. And that's the problem with all those characteristics I gave you.
Yeah.
Those are for vipers. characteristic.
Oh, okay.
And a coral snake is not a viper.
Okay.
Yes, because some of the feminist snakes around the world can have rounded pupils like you and I, but they're feminists.
Okay.
So, yeah, every, you know, different groups or different categories of snakes will have different characteristics.
Yeah, now, there are, like, Gila monsters are have a...
They're feminists,
A venom. And there are all sorts of critters. You said the platypus has venom.
The male platypus. Yeah,
but not very many in North America.
No. Just unless you're in a zoo or out in Australia.
Okay. Yeah, well, Australia has the most, don't they?
Yeah, that's where they're native, yeah.
Well, I wonder why.
Everything wants to kill you in Australia. Yeah,
why is that?
They have fun wildlife over there.
Fun wildlife, yeah, absolutely. All right, so now you had a lady that saw 10 snakes out on the bike or the path.
Yes, a couple days ago.
But obviously, I didn't realize all these snakes that we're talking about are pretty small.
Yeah.
So you might just think you're seeing earthworms.
Sometimes with those, I mean, especially the small brown snakes.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. I don't think I'll be picking one of those up either, though. Now, do they have a bite?
Those
little tiny ones?
Oh, yeah. They do. They all have a bite. Now, it's funny. The brown snakes, they rarely bite people. But the garter snakes, sometimes I've had garters might bite me a little bit. It's fine. They'll calm down. I've had some... I had this one named Linda. She was in my building.
Wait a minute. And, you named her?
Yeah, well, because she was in our building when we were doing more educational programs. And every time I messed with her, she was feisty. She bit me and bit me and bit me.
Well, does the bite hurt?
It depends. Okay. For the most part, it just feels like a pinch. But then Linda and some of my other friends, they would bite in between the fingers.
Ooh.
And for some reason, that skin is a little sensitive, and it does hurt in there. The black rat snakes, I have been bitten before, and it does. It feels a little more painful.
Now, how big is the rat snake?
They can get up to about 4 to 7 feet long.
Okay, so, yeah, they got a bigger mouth.
Yeah, they're constrictors. So the first thing when you pick them up is they'll wrap and they'll squeeze. And I don't know why. I always just think it's fun. It's a fun
wheel. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think you want a python, though, which is a constrictor that to you, unless you have a lot of help around to get him off.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the scariest scenes in, what was the name of that book? Swiss Family Robinson, known the Robinson Crusoe. One of the scariest scenes in that is a constrictor that kills a donkey or something
that.
And I couldn't stand that. My wife and I don't like nature. We love nature, but we don't like nature. We don't like that other animals have to kill other animals to live, but that's life, I guess. And I keep saying to my wife, well, then why do we eat steak and hamburger? And every time I say that, I know I should kick myself because she says, well, maybe we ought to go vegetarian. Oh, my. Oh, well. All right. So what are you doing? Whoop, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone. Hang on just a second. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Well, I'm going to have to start coming in.
You should.
I've got a snake story.
All right.
I got a story for everything.
Yeah.
Bluegill fishing one time in a farm pond, minding my own business, pulled a few bluegill in, just having a great old time.
Having a good time, too.
Well, they probably were, no. Just happened to look over my shoulder and saw a blue racer.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I got chased all the way to my car by a blue racer.
Yeah, they're a little aggressive.
Are they venomous?
No, they're not.
No, but I didn't want to take a chance on him biting me.
Well, why would he chase him?
I have no idea.
They're very territorial.
Yeah, they
look like a big blue racer then, I guess.
Well, I don't know, but I must have been, could it have been a nest, James, nearby?
Could have.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of moving around the farm pond, not paying too much attention, and I just happened to look over my shoulder, and here comes this daggone thing, and I knew what
right
it was.
Right at you, huh?
Yeah, he chased me all the way to the car.
Maybe it was a she. They're meaner than the she.
Well, I wasn't going to stick around and try to find out. But I'm not a snake person. I don't like snakes. I do a lot of, I used to, I haven't for quite a few years now, but I used to do a lot of mushroom hunting in the spring.
Yeah.
And I always carried a .22 pistol with me with shell shot. Because where I hunt, where I would hunt mushrooms down out in the Hockey Hills, around Hockey County, out my father-in-law had a bit of land out there, and we had a cabin on it, so I did a lot out there, and there were a lot of rattlesnakes around there.
Yeah, so you did run into some venomous snakes then.
Huh? Oh yeah, rattlesnakes, right? Yeah, sure did. I've shot a few with shot shells before out of my .22, but I just don't like snakes. And just last year, I happened to go out. My wife come running out. She said, "There's a snake outside in the mulch." So I went out. Of course, it was a garter snake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I picked it up. It didn't get me. But that's the only snake I'll really mess with is a garter snake.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Fred.
Anything else I'm not too crazy about. But but you were talking about the rat snake. I've seen a few of those. I've never tried to mess with them. I've seen some pretty big ones. I know I've seen one at least 5 feet long before.
Yeah.
But me and snakes just don't get along. But that experience with the Blue Racer was first and last.
That would be shocking, yes, to have a snake chase you.
Now, are they up in this part of the state, James?
No, racers are more in western and southeastern Ohio.
Okay, because this would have been Hocking County. So.
Or eastern Ohio, sorry, yeah.
Is their name indicative of how fast they move?
Must be. Well, I ran track in high school, and a sucker was outrunning me. So. I'm going to try not to bother you guys anymore, but every time you come up with something I got a story for, I have to share it.
Absolutely. We love them. We love hearing the stories.
Have a great day.
Have a good day,
friend.
Bye-bye. All right. That's interesting. And now, how do they develop such speed? They don't have little legs under there.
No, they're a little bit thinner than some of our other species, and just how they're just designed. They're just able to travel a little bit faster.
Yeah, now they do it by the muscularity on their belly or something.
Yeah. And then their scales on their bellies kind of help push.
Oh, sure. Okay, I got you. Well, if I saw a snake chasing me, I would probably have a heart attack. Another heart attack.
Well, luckily you don't have to worry about that in Marion County.
Well, I'm a strong advocate of not liking snakes, but I will not kill a snake.
That's good.
I don't like a lot of critters being around on me, but I'm sure not going to kill them. I mean, they have a right to be alive, and they're somebody's food.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That they are.
Now, what is the top of the food chain other than adult humans in this area? What would you say the top?
It would definitely be like your top predators would be your coyote, your eagle, owls.
Okay.
Great horned owl especially.
Really? They're quite a predator. Though.
Yeah.
Now, ever since we talked about one, maybe two times ago, I've been noticing a lot of people posting pictures of horned owls.
Yeah.
So this area must have several of them.
Yes, and then the short ears, those were pretty abundant this winter, but they start migrating up north, up in Canada.
Now, didn't you say that there was a
snowy owl? Yeah.
Owl around. Has it gone?
Yes, it's been gone for a while.
Yeah,
but it stayed in Delaware around the Delaware Dam area for about a month.
Huh, that's kind of interesting.
And that's just—it's kind of unusual just for that owl to stay in one area for that long.
Must have found a lot of mice.
It must have.
Now, they are a beautiful owl, though.
Oh, they are.
Oh, my goodness. They're snow white. Well, most.
For the males, they are. Now, the females, they have all those dark bars across her chest because she's trying to blend in the ground because she's the one who's going to stay with the kids. And dad's job is going out to find the food.
Yeah. He doesn't care whether he's camouflaged.
Yeah.
Well, he is camouflaged in the winter.
Yeah, in the wintertime. But usually when they're having their babies, there's usually no snow or very little snow.
When do they have their babies?
You know, I forget when
March,
they usually.
March, April?
I forget up there in the Arctic tundra when they have them.
When it slightly warms up a little bit, maybe. Yeah, okay.
Now they have a lot shorter spring than we do.
Yeah.
There, so it might be a little bit later, probably May, I would say, April, May.
Oh, okay, yeah. I would, if I'm going to have a baby, which thank goodness I don't have to, I would be a very bad mother. But if I'm going to have one, I want it when it's nice and comfortable out. Now, this weather that has really changed quickly, is that something that's good for nature or is it bad for nature? I mean, we went from icy cold to 50s, 60s, and 70 degree weather in a matter of 2 weeks.
That we have. As long as we stay consistent. Like, you know, in some winter springs, you know how it get really warm and then the next day and really cold. When it fluctuates and keeps doing that over and over and over, it hurts the plants. It hurts especially reptiles and amphibians. Not so much mammals and birds, but you got to remember with reptiles and amphibians, since they're cold-blooded, you know, they depend on what's the outside temperatures. Yeah. So luckily we haven't dropped, you know, significantly. I mean, I know it does get cool in the evenings, but
sure.
It's not as bad.
Now, if a salamander comes out because it got warm and then it gets really cold, does that affect them or do they just cool down themselves and then wait for it to get warm again?
So as long as they can stay a little bit warm, there are actually some that actually will start are breeding in about late February, early March, but that's more in southern Ohio, which is, you know, there that atmosphere is a little bit warmer than here in central Ohio.
Are there salamanders up here?
Yes, there are, but it's actually sad about Marion County. We're very sad when it comes to salamander species. We don't have too many.
Okay.
Even the most common species, we don't. But our neighboring counties like Morrow and Crawford, they have in Delaware, they have a terrific salamander diversity, but our big problem is two things. We're very developed for either development or agriculture, but even Big Island Wildlife Area, yes, that is a natural wildlife area, but it's too open. Salamanders have to have it in a nice kind of...
They need woods?
In woods. It's a open woods because they can't have it too warm or they'll fry to death, basically.
Okay.
So that's kind of the problem with Marion County.
That's a bad way to go, fry to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time here for this third period. We will be back here in about 2 minutes. I've got about 25 seconds left to go. And we will try to keep on talking about the critters. Now, I will tell you, my garden is starting to do pretty well. And I found out there are lots of plants that like the cold.
There are some.
Lettuce.
Peas.
Carrots. They like going out in the cold. We'll talk about that. We'll be back after these messages. Thanks for listening.
Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey, you're back with Glenn Coble and James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist. We're talking about critters of all types. We're talking about plants of all types. And I was just telling James that I'm kind of a very poor gardener. And there are a lot of plants that are like the animals. There are some of them really like cold weather. It helps them. And are there critters that like the cold weather other than penguins, which we don't have up here?
Wolverines.
Oh, they do.
They do, yeah. And
we don't have many of those, though.
We used to in Ohio long, long, long time ago.
They all moved up to the state up north.
We kicked them out. They believe by 1782, we kicked them out of Ohio.
Now, was a wolverine, was it used for its pelt at all?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
There's not a lot of records, but my guess it probably was.
I think they're pretty skinny, though, aren't they?
No, they're pretty stocky.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Okay. So they would have a decent pelt.
They're called skunk bears.
Skunk bears.
Yes, because they have the...
That's just people that are OSU fans. They call them skunk bears.
they sometimes will produce a musky smell, not as potent as a skunk, and they will fight grizzly bears for food.
I understand they're quite a feisty critter. They're not very nice.
And they can't get too warm. It can hurt them a little bit, I've heard. Out in the wild, that's why they really like that deep snow, like in Canada and in Alaska.
Now, there's an ad on TV, and I can't remember what it's for, but the opening shot is a picture of a white critter laying in the snow, seemingly very happy with being in... And it looks... It's white, and I was just wondering if you know what that is. It's not a snowshoe rabbit.
Okay.
It looks like a fox, a white fox. Maybe it's just an albino version of a fox.
Yeah, or a kit fox. Those guys are white, but they're really small.
Yeah, this looked fairly small. Okay, well, maybe. What is it called?
A kit. Kit. Yeah, kit fox.
Is a kit fox a baby fox?
No.
The actual name of
them. That's the actual name of them, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's what it is. I'll look the next time and tell you what the name of the ad is.
Or the Arctic fox. That's the other
Arctic
one.
Fox. Well, maybe that's what it is. Is that white?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're primarily white, but then during the summer, they kind of are more of a grayish color. So they do change their coloration.
They go to the tanning salon.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they do. All right. Well, now... We have lots of things going on, and we have a program that you're doing. And has it started to rejuvenate itself?
Well, it's going to start in April. So.
All right. Well, give us the particulars on that.
All right. So, yep, we're starting our programs back up like we did back in September and October of last year. And on April 10th, we'll be doing our morning bird watching program at Tallgrass Trail. That'll be 8 o'clock in the morning, and we will start at the DeCliff parking lot.
Now, are you going to have a maximum number of people still?
Yes, okay. Still.
Okay.
On April 15th, we will have a park trash pickup at the Tallgrass Trail. This will start at the trailhead from 9 to 11 a.m. We will provide bags. We'll be hiking roughly about 2.5 miles. We're just asking if you can please bring your gloves or water or any type of liquid along so you don't go too thirsty out there. And then in the past, we've done an Earth Day event, but obviously with everything going on, we can't really have our traditional events. So what we're doing is we're doing a Earth Day packet pickup. So what it means is we will have these packets full of games, activities, crafts, kind of like we did with our outdoor preschool program. You can come out to the trail on that day on April 17th at the trailhead from 1 to 3 p.m., and we'll hand you the packet, and then you can take it home, and then if you do social media, share it with us. We love to show everybody, but there is a limited supply, so I think we're only doing 30, 40 packets, so just be prepared for that. On April 20th, we're doing a listening to frog and toad calls at the Tallgrass Trail at 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And this will start at the Herd Road parking lot there by Foundation Lake. And then on the 29th, we'll be back here with you, Glenn, from 10 to noon. And then later on that day, we're going to do a spring wildflower hike at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve. So, yes, as Glenn was mentioning before, as we've done in the past, we have to work close with the health department. You do have to register for these programs. The best way to really do it is through social media, especially if you do Facebook or what, through Marion Tallgrass Trail. If you don't do it, we do have an office phone number. Sometimes I do try my best to answer the phone, but it's 740-223-4161. Again, that's 740-223-4161. And yes, we are only limited to 9 people. But what I was told by the health department in June, I guess DeWine is supposed to lift some of the guidelines or regulations. So we're hopefully in June, if we're able to have bigger numbers, that kind of stuff. So just keep posted, and obviously keep in mind that some of these programs can be canceled due to weather or other circumstances. If COVID got crazy again, we would have to obviously cancel.
Well, you have a website, and I assume you keep that up to date on that sort of thing. Yeah. Now, I looked up Earth Day, and it says Earth Day is Thursday, April 22nd.
Yes, we celebrate a little early because...
the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. Emily Overolidis at the Eco Center, which is outside of Caledonia, she does her Earth Day event, and we're a part of that. So we decided not to compete at the same time because we actually have a table, and we actually do a couple lessons. So if you want more information about her Earth Day event... type it if you're on Facebook. Type in Eco Center.
Now I was wondering why in the world do we have an Earth Day? So I looked it up and it says every year on April 22nd, Earth Day marks the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement in 1970.
Yeah. And you probably remember some of that.
Oh, of course I do. In 1970, I was 24 years old, so of course I do. Anyway, that I didn't realize that that's why we have an Earth Day about the environmental anniversary, the anniversary of the beginning of that. So, do you like Ottoman? Not Ottoman. The day when we plant trees.
Oh, Arbor Day?
Arbor Day. Do we also do that on Earth Day? Do we plant things?
You
can. I'm sure you can plant things. I'm going to be planting things tomorrow. So
that's good.
Carrots, in my case. Anyway, so, but that's not what you normally do around Earth Day. Earth Day is more of a celebration of environmental cleanness and goodness.
But you know, you could celebrate that anyway, from planting trees,
not killing a snake,
you know, respecting wildlife, recycling, picking up trash. You know, there's a lot of things you can do, and I always tell everybody, every day is an Earth Day.
Yeah, I would think it should be.
We not
should,
just one day.
Yeah, we need to make sure that we support our Mother Earth because things are not going so well for her right now. Now, I once listened to George Carlson, the comedian, and he said, well, if we do the wrong thing for Mother Earth, she'll shake us off just like a bad case of dandruff. So make sure you take – we need to be good – we need to help the earth.
Oh, yeah. And there's many ways you can do that.
And if we don't help the earth, she won't help us.
Yeah.
Now, we do have a phone call. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, I hear a frog.
I hear a frog, too.
Sounds like the traditional ribbits.
What the? He's talking to you, I think, not to me. What type of frog is that?
I think it's just a man-made one, but it's funny about that ribbit sound. You know, that's when we think of frogs, we hear that. But then, you know, a lot of frogs, especially in Ohio, make from peeping to creaking to almost a duck-like sound, and some make a screaming sound.
Well, let's thank our frog for calling
you.
Thanks, frog. All right.
It's not easy being green.
No, it's not. And you are green today.
That's right.
But you're almost always green. Right?
That's right.
That's your uniform.
Oh, yes. I know we talked before we went on our big break.
Yeah, you were going to play the sound of a frog. Not that frog that we just got, but...
But this is a spring peeper. This is what you'll be hearing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so that's where they get their name, the beep, 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 beep.
Now, I would have thought that was an insect as opposed to a frog.
And then the other one you'll be hearing is the chorus frog.
Chorus frog.
Yeah, the western chorus frog, because down in Hocking Hills, they have the mountain chorus frog.
Oh, there are different types of chorus.
Oh, yeah. So there's that creek.
Oh, yeah. You must have been near running water.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a pretty sound. I mean, pretty. I'm not sure that's quite the right term. But now, frogs must have a time when they generate an awful lot of baby frogs.
Oh, yeah. And this is the time. This is the mating season.
And you have to be careful when you're driving down narrow roads that have water on both sides of the road, because they come across those roads and you run over them.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. I remember one time driving down to Indianapolis from South Bend, Indiana, on a really rainy evening, and there you couldn't avoid them. There were just that many frogs, and it was in the spring, I think. And kind of sad, but
that does happen.
They didn't notice it very long. Yeah. 2,000-pound car rolling over them didn't allow them much life. Anyway, so what do you think we'll be looking for next time we get together? What type of the season are we going to be going into?
So definitely more of our critters will be coming out.
Yeah.
We'll have different species of frogs, reptiles. Also, our wildflowers. We'll have a more diversity of wildflowers next time we meet. Some definitely exciting thing. Spring migratory birds will be coming through.
I was going to ask you, have we gotten any of the swan? Recently?
The trumpeter swans, yeah. We've gotten some.
Are they out on the lake?
You see mainly them in the wintertime, but okay. A lot around Big Island and Killdeer.
They are a migratory bird, right?
For the most part, sometimes there are some that do stay here year-long.
Okay.
But for a lot of them, they actually went up north.
Now, somebody posted a picture of an egret.
Yeah.
Now, I always think of an egret as a southern bird, but apparently
there are some egret species in Ohio that visit us during the summertime.
Yeah, and they look like egrets. I mean, I saw the picture and I said, that's an egret.
And then I posted a video about a week or so ago about the sandhill cranes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they ain't got an actual footage of them, but you could hear the sound. And they have a really majestic sound.
Now, I think the last time you were here, you were talking about them coming into the area. Now, yes. Are they migratory as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they'll be gone someday soon.
Yeah. And there's some of them that are migrating here for the summer.
Oh.
And they'll raise their young for the summer.
Now, ducks. Are we getting a lot of ducks
yes,
now?
Yes. Yes. You know, you hear the term March Madness.
Yeah.
For basketball, well, in the birding world, March Madness is ducks. There are ducks galore.
Ducks everywhere.
Especially if you go up to Lake Erie right now, one of our local photographers, they went up for a field trip up at East Harbor, and they just saw thousands and thousands of ducks of all different kinds.
Now, we only have a few seconds left, about 45 seconds left, but we do get seagulls down here.
Oh, yeah.
Are they coming from Lake Erie, most likely?
Some are, and some are just coming from the south.
Oh, okay. They're semi-migratory as well?
Yeah, and same with the vultures. Okay. Vultures are back.
Oh, yeah, I saw those. Yeah, I thought, oh, there's an eagle. Nope, that's a vulture. I could tell by the head. Yeah, okay. Well, I hope next time we get together, which will be a month from now, we'll have a good time, and it'll be beautiful by then. I love mid-late April. Yeah. All right. Well, we've been talking with James Anderson, and I thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll have you on next time, and we'll be gone here for about 15 seconds, and we'll be back, or 15 minutes, and we'll be back with Swap Shop. Have a
good
day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One